prophetic word and the worship all comes together and it ties in with what I've got to bring today. So let me just first pray, because it's always a good idea, isn't it? So Lord, I just pray now, Lord, just come, Holy Spirit, and just speak to your people right now through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, right, so I am going to be reading from, for those of you who've got Bibles, 2 Peter 3, 9 to 11. 2 Peter 3, 9 to 11. And not that I'm stealing anyone's thunder, but actually it's kind of where Sam was saying our next series is about being ready for revival. I've actually titled today's preach, Revival Ready. So it's like a pre, a pre thing, because God is already moving, amen. All right, so it says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Amen. So I loved it when the word Sam brought, God is doing something in the background. And I'm like, going, yes, he is. Amen. God is actually doing a new thing. Revival is coming. We're hearing about it. You know, many of us have heard about the revival that took place in Asbury, and it's spreading. It's spreading over at least like 50 other colleges into businesses, I'm hearing. And God is bringing another outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I am hungry. I am believing God is going to bring revival here. Anyone else believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Do you want it, church?
Yes.
Do you want this? I love it when Nicholas said, I just read the whole thing in was it 30 minutes, 5 days? And it's like, because she's hungry. And God wants us to be hungry and ready for him. He's preparing each and every one of us, both individually, as a church, as a family, as a nation, to be ready for his outpouring of his spirit. It's new wine, and he needs new wineskins. People crying out to see a God that loves them, that cares about them, whether they know it or not. Their answer is not their own power. It's not their own wisdom. It's not their own truth. Because let's face it, there's all these sorts of truths out there. Whatever you want goes if you think it's your truth. It's not in the government. We're not looking at our finances or any other idols, because God is saying it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And God is preparing us so that Jesus is in us. And when people see us, they see Jesus. He is shaking us. He's been doing that for the last few years. And talking of the Asbury revival, one of the magazines, Christianity Today, said this, no celebrities except Jesus. I love that, because all we need is Jesus. We don't need some celebrity, we don't need some bigwig, we don't need some big influencer to make our lives good. We just need Jesus. He is shaking us up. He is uprooting us. You know, we've heard the prophetic word that Sam brought the other day about us. He saw the pot where we had been taken out of a small pot and we were being replanted in a new pot. And when we're being replanted, it's like a new spacious place. It's going to feel uncomfortable at first because there's room to grow, there's change, and we are having to adjust to the new environment. And he's getting us revival ready, church. He's been doing it in me. He's been doing it in you. I know. He wants us to be people who hunger for him. Because let's face it, everything that we've seen is shaking. And if it's not rooted in him, it's not going to withstand. People who cry out, God, you are all we need. You are enough for me. You plus nothing is everything. That's where God wants us to be. To surrender it all our rights, all our dreams, like we sang earlier. He's shaking us up to refine us. He's sifting us so that we can be all that he created us to be. It's God's will that none should perish. It's God's will that your family are saved. It's God's will that your friends are saved. I love, you know, little Ollie. Where is Ollie's, you know, how amazing if his friend got saved. How amazing if your brother got saved, if your sister got saved, if your mum, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, your co-workers. It's time for prodigals to return. And God wants to shake us up so we are ready for revival. God is wanting us to be ready for when he returns, because he will come like a thief. That's what we just read. He wants to find us, who remembers? Holy, living godly lives, spotless, without blemish, and at peace with him. When I read this, I was shocked to see that God wants to find us when he returns to be at peace with him. Yes, the bit about being holy, godly, spotless, I can understand. But the revelation that spoke to me most was that God wants to find us in peace. That was a real surprise. That he would place such importance for us to live a life of peace. To be at peace with him. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, isn't he? When you live a life of peace, free from anxiety. Who wants to live a life free from anxiety? I tell you now. Free from worry. When we live like that, guys, we represent Jesus. When people see you go through those trials, those tribulations, and you hold on to your peace, they see Jesus. And he wants us to grow in faith, to faith, to faith. To trust him in all circumstances and have peace and joy whilst going through those storms. Because God is doing a new thing. And God is moving. He's doing a new thing and he wants us to be hungry and seek him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. Who wants that? Something amazing happened. I was chatting to a friend the other day, and I'd forgotten, actually. We spoke a few months ago, and we were talking on the subject of CBD. And I was saying, yeah, there's like CBD in everything now. And this friend was like saying, yeah, but, you know, it's got all these benefits and health benefits and, you know, it helps with pain relief and it hasn't got the same side effects as, you know, cannabis. And I was just saying, look, for me, it makes me feel uncomfortable. I am not sure about it. But I'm not going to be all religious and say, yes, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. I just said, go away and pray about it yourself. And they shared with me the other day, they said, that conversation we had, and I'd actually forgotten what I said. And they said to me, they said to me, when you said that when you smoke weed, it gives you illegal access to the spirit realm. I can't remember even saying that. And they went away and said that that God really spoke to them. And they said to me, I just want to confess to you, I have been smoking weed since I was a teen. And God completely broke that addiction. And I was like, wow. I didn't even pray for that person. I didn't even know they were doing that. And God was moving, and I want to see more of that. Do you not want to see that, church, where you don't even have to pray for anyone? You don't even have to know, but just being there and being God's mouthpiece can set people free. And God is doing something new. Revival is coming. It's starting already. And I love that. And the thing is, he is calling us. He is calling us to be seated in heavenly places. Just like we heard with Nicola, you know, she's seeking God. As we're seeking him, we're lifted into heavenly realms, and God starts to reveal his secrets to us. Something that God's been saying to me a lot is, come up here. When I'm stressed out, and I'm worried and I can't get over the anxiety, God is just saying, just come up here. Come up here. There's this door that is standing open, and God is saying, you know, just lay down all your agendas, lay down all your crowns, all your own beliefs in your own wisdom and in your own ability. Lay down all your worries, lay down all your fears, lay down your reputation, your hurts, your past. Just give it all to him. Because God is wanting to restore us and heal us and transform us. It comes through renewing of our minds. And I got this picture a few weeks ago, and I literally saw God standing with the door open, and there was all this light coming from behind him. And I could sense he was saying to me, the door's open for you. This is where I want you to walk through now. But in order to do that, he said, you need to let go of all the things, all the worries, all the past. And you know when you sort of see, oh yeah, that looks really intriguing, I want to go there, but it's like, can I actually let go? And I was like, really struggling. And I still am, if I'm honest. If no one else get anything from this preach, I'm preaching to myself, because it's been such a struggle. This year, I won't go through all the struggles, but every day has been a struggle upon struggle upon struggle. And God brought me to this scripture, Revelation 4:1-3, and it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I heard first, heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, and with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled around the throne. And there's that invitation for me, for you, to come up here. God is inviting us. It's like, don't look at what's happening in the world. Don't look at your circumstances, but come up here. I want to show you what I'm doing. When you realize that he is ruling and reigning and everything is in his hands, that he loves us and cares for us, he just wants us to see what he sees. And I got this, you know, I share often that I swim, And a few months ago, I felt God saying, I want to give you vision to see underwater. And I sort of forgot about it. And then I just got recently these new goggles, and they're amazing. and just so that you know, when I used to swim, I used to have no goggles, and literally I couldn't see when I was swimming. So when I, it was like a revelation. Oh my gosh, I can see. And then I've got these new goggles, and they're so amazing. They're so slick, they don't let any water in, and I can really see clearly. And I felt God just remind me of that word, of giving you eyes to see underwater. And he said to me, he said, where I want to take you deeper, I want to reveal the hidden treasures underwater. But you can't take anything with you. It's like you don't go swimming with a bag, do you? Just take my handbag, you know, take my purse and my, you know. You basically, it's just you. And then I felt like God was to show me, like, you know, if you were, I love Iron Man. Anyone else like a Marvel fan? I love Iron Man. And when he like shoots up and flies in the sky, it's like you don't see him carrying a bag. It's like you can't be flying up at great heights where God wants you to see and give you new vision, carrying a load of baggage, right? And that's what I felt like he was saying. And I don't know about you, I love like all these sort of like renovation interior design programs. I love it when it's like, oh, this is the before and this is the after, and the more walls they knock down and refurb everything, the better it is, because it's like it changes not only the way it looks, but it changes how that family or couple, whoever it is, you know, experience living in their house, right? It's complete transformation, and it reforms the way they live. And I felt like God was saying, this is what you did, what's happening now. This, you know, Sam was saying, like, it just feels like, God, where are you? It's just like you're somewhere in the background. What's going on? And it's because we're going through transition. I know I am. I know as a church we are. And, you know, that's why we're having all these, like, you know, things are, you know, aren't happening perfectly, because we're still transitioning and finding a way through, and we're training people up, and God is rebuilding, he is renovating, he is restoring, he is bringing transformation and reformation. You know, time and time again we hear in the Old Testament, I'm just reading the Chronicles at the moment, and every king that comes along, it's like, oh yeah, he's all for the Lord, oh no, he was against the Lord, and then, oh, he was for the Lord, no, he was against the Lord. And then every time the one that was for the Lord, he would rebuild the temple. and I felt like God was saying, you know, we, you know, the temple, that's us, our lives, our body, we've gone through a lot of neglects. You know, things have been broken, we've fallen away, and God's like saying, I want to restore you, I want to rebuild you. And I had this dream the other night, and I was staying in this old house, and it'd been renovated, and there were rooms that had been beautifully decorated. But I looked down and saw the floors, and they were all like, you know, old. They hadn't been redone. They had holes in them, and they'd all warped, and you know, like you could see all the holes, and you just think, oh, can you imagine all the infestation and the mice there and everything? It's an old house. And I was like, I woke up and I was like, God, what are you saying? And I felt like he was saying, you know, like the floors, they've been trampled on, they've been walked over, they've been downtrodden. And I felt like God was saying, you know, so far you've had a bit of a makeover, you know. But God wants to go deeper. He wants to actually start restoring those floors, those foundations. You know, you've managed so far. You've developed coping mechanisms, but God is like saying, how you functioned before isn't going to take what I have for you in the future. And I want to do a proper restoration. You know, when you start changing floors, it's costly. It's time consuming. You have to get everything out of the house. You can't just move things around and do a little here, a little there. It's a big job. And God was just saying that a renovation is needed. God is saying, I'm preparing you to glorify me in your life. I'm preparing you for all those I am sending into your life. The sphere of influence, so that your flaws can take the weight and the footfall that is going to come. Your floor, meaning your foundations, you're able to hold on to faith, to persevere, to love, especially those who are unlovely. Who loves loving the unlovely here? And I feel God is saying it's time to return to him for some. You have let your life get you down. Worries of life have stolen your peace, your joy, and left you hopeless. Or there's those of you who've been running the race well, and God is wanting to promote you and make you even more fruitful. And in order to do that, he is restoring areas that have been broken, neglected. He wants to heal and restore and set you free. Face the fears and walk through. And that prophetic word about the replanting, you know, it's because where we are, we have outgrown and we're not being as fruitful. But now God's replanting us so that there's room to grow, to flourish, to multiply. And that new door that is opening, it's an invitation for us to enter into it. But you have to let go of the old. And some of you are going through that transition now. I know I am. And it feels so uncomfortable, painful, and really, really hard. It's a process, you know, going through the pain of transitioning. It's like moving house. You're not quite there yet, and you've packed everything. You just like nothing is where you want it to be. Because change, you know, things are changing, sorry. It feels change is uncomfortable because everything is new. But amen, God is doing a new thing. Amen. In you, through you, and around you. And you're in the middle of obedience, but you've not yet seen the fruit of that obedience yet. So I just want to reiterate that word. Just keep persevering. And I got that picture of, you know, this is for me, but I also feel it's for the church here as well, and many of you here as well, that replanting of the new pot. And God showed me that. You know, when you have plants and you are creating a garden, every plant, you know, some might be sort of more flowery, others might be more foliagey, and every plant has different needs. And they flourish in different parts of the garden. You know, some may need direct sunlight, some might need more shade, some might need more water, some might need less. And God was just saying, in this process of transition, you're just learning what each and everyone's gifts are so that you can place them in the right place. And it's going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to try a few spaces. You're going to try a few, you know, someone doing this or someone doing that. And you realize, that person's really great over there. And this person's not so good here, but they're really great over there. And it's going to be a lot of working out where everyone's gifts and strengths are. And it's okay for it to not feel like everything's going to plan. I just need to say that. Because that's hard, isn't it? I like everything to go to plan. I don't know about you. I love everything. I love it when it goes smoothly. I love perfection. And even though it's a bad thing, it's like... And when it doesn't, because life isn't perfect, it's really, really hard. And it's this whole process. It's a process of restoration and transformation. It requires patience, faith, stamina to push through. You know, perseverance not only to keep going, but build up your spiritual muscles of faith so that you hold on to love, you hold on to peace, and you hold on to joy and hope. As I mentioned, it's been, yeah, I know many of you have gone through struggles, and this year's been just one thing after the other, and God's grace, praise God, has been sufficient for me. And one day I was just like, I mean, every day has been quite a bit like this, to be honest. And I felt God say to me, you are stronger than you think. I think that's another word for someone. You are stronger than you think. You're stronger than what you say you are. And I'm testing your strength, your stamina. And I had to look at what stamina actually meant. And they said, and I felt God saying, the pain you think I am inflicting is actually the pain you're going through when training and you're pushing through to stretch your muscles so that you can build them up, so that when you're running, you keep on persevering and you go through that pain barrier to stretch and grow your stamina. I don't know about you, but he said, that pain that is inflicted on you is not a punishment. We often think like that, don't we? I know I do. It's a training and development of your strength and your skills and gifts. Stamina actually means the bodily or mental capacity to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. I tell you, I've been tested on stamina lately. Anyone else? You will have to overcome the temptation. This is my biggest one. To partner with self-pity, poor me, going through all this. Why me? Why is it happening all the time? Victim mentality. You will need to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and the joy set before you, the promises of God. You will need to learn to lean into God's grace, because when you are weak, you are strong. And you will have to lay down your crowns, your successes, your strengths, your thoughts, your failures, your own understanding when going through this test, because the old tools, the old ways of thinking will not give you breakthrough. Instead, they will cause you to give up and shrink back. And as I was praying, and you know, I've shared a lot up here about the struggles with staff and just constantly being let down, and you hear it across the board, and I got this and God gave me this picture of, anyone love James Bond? I love a bit of James Bond, right? Okay, can you remember the Spy Who Loved Me? Can you remember that one? And it had the car that went underwater. It was so cool. I love that one. And God gave me that picture. And then the next picture I had was like, you know, chitty chitty bang bang, flying up in the sky, you know. And God was saying to me, this is what he was saying to me. He said, as I'm standing on his faithfulness, his grace is sufficient for me. And he said, it's when I'm tested that I get to use the gifts he gives me. Love, peace, joy, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, and wisdom. And when the enemy tries to sink us, we discover that God has given us the ability to go underwater. And we have power in that realm. Or when the enemy tries to attack us head on, you know, through fire, through earthquakes, we can actually fly and rise above it. And I felt like I have trained and become skilled and have stamina to ride those waves that used to overwhelm me. And I do. I look back now and I think, if this had happened a few years ago, I would have been just sunk. I would have been sunk. Not that I feel like, yay, now, but seriously. And God has just reminded me, you are not a victim. You're not even an overcomer. You are actually a victor. Stop thinking and fretting about when the next problem is going to be. This is for me now, I'm preaching to myself. The next appointment, stop fretting over when your next disappointment is going to be, the next criticism, the next bad review, and letting the enemy have a foothold in your mind. And I always remember someone preached on this, and it was this. It's like, you will always have to fight to overcome and reach zero. Okay, you'll always have to fight to overcome and reach zero, because you will not advance because your eyes are fixed on what the enemy's doing and not on what God is doing. So basically what I'm saying, don't worry and focus on the negative all the time, but focus on the positive. Declare what God is saying and doing. Fix your eyes on Jesus, because you will be victorious and you will advance. And I remember this. It's like when I was a student many, many years ago, and you know, students get given an overdraft, right? And my eyes were constantly fixed on how much of my overdraft I could spend. I was hardly ever ever on zero. I was always negative. It's like, it's fine, I've got the overdraft. And it took me a few years to pay off that overdraft because of my mindset was like, ooh, I can still borrow that much and I'll be okay. So I was never really in the positive. But when I finally paid off my overdraft, I was in credit and my eyes were no longer fixed on being in overdraft, but actually fixed on staying in credit. And over the years, I've managed to steward and grow the finances. So focus, what I'm trying to say, is focus on how to win and not how not to fail. There's a difference. Amen. So fix your eyes on the joy set before you. God is saying, come up here. I want to show you what I'm doing. Who wants to see what God is doing? He is standing at the door and he's saying, come up here, I have something new for you. But in order to come, you need to let go of those worries, those old mindsets, the weight of life. He's got new things for you to see and experience. How are we doing for time? Yeah, I might have to skip. So the last few months, we, on top of a lot of things, we've had a lot of bad reviews. And to be honest, majority of them have been very unfair. And there's been a real spirit we have seen of entitlement in the world today. Entitlement, I can do what I want to do, even though it's your establishment. It's my rights. And if I don't like what you're telling me that I need to do, then I will just go online and write a bad review about you. And it's been really, really difficult because it's ongoing. And I was like, God, why is this so hard? And I'm still battling through it. And it's that process of really learning to love the unlovely. It is. And each day God is calling me, love them, forgive them, bless them, to be Jesus to them. And he reminds me to let go of my reputation, to not dwell on the bad reports, because in Philippians 2, 6, 7, it's like Jesus made himself of no reputation. He didn't worry about what people thought of him. And he didn't retaliate or defend himself when people came against him. I know this is speaking to people here right now. And I woke up the other day, God saying this verse, John 2, 24, 25, and he said, but Jesus knew what was in their hearts and he would not let them have power over them. No one had to tell him what people were like. He already knew. So stop focusing on the bad reviews. Know that people are fallen. We're fallen. We're all broken. We're all imperfect. We're all going to hurt people. Amen. He knows. You know, we need to know what is in people's hearts. So we don't need to let it affect us. It's what God says about you that we need to listen to. Only Jesus is perfect. So don't waste your time beating yourself up. Jesus was betrayed. He did nothing wrong. Jesus was crucified on a cross. He did nothing wrong. Just whatever you're going through, maybe you've had bad reports, maybe people have spread lies about you, maybe people have just let you down, there's disappointments, there's hurts, give it to him. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And God was just saying to me, this is quite funny, you know, we hear about the cancel culture. And it's so true, because people just want to cancel you, and it's just their opinion. If you speak something that is not their opinion, people will come against you. And it's really, really, you know, people are losing businesses, people are really being affected, but their reputation is going down by it. And I felt like God saying this to me. He said, I want you to bring a new cancel culture. You cancel all their sins. Just like Jesus cancelled all our sins. He wants us to be a people where we will not be offended. There is a spirit of offence that has been around. I don't know about you guys, but I've really, really, really experienced it. And God's saying, you need to just cancel every offence, cancel every sin, every wrong thing that people have done against you, just like Jesus has cancelled all our sins. So I'm just going to get Lloyd to come up because we are on time. It's 12 o'clock. can we just stand? I'm just going to... So if we can just stand, because as I said, God is sifting me, he is sifting you. And I got this picture of flour being sifted before baking. And the reason why we do that is so that all the ingredients that are then added and mixed together, they can combine beautifully and you can bake it and it becomes a beautiful cake. And that's what God is doing. He is refining each and every one of us. He is sifting all those things that need to go. So that when he rubs us together, there is chemistry and it produces a fine, tasty bake. So I just want to encourage you, whatever you're going through, keep going. You're in a process of change. You're transitioning and transformation is coming. Renewed minds, strongholds are being teared down, a renovation is taking place. And that transformation will change the way you think, because that is where our battle is. Stay in the fight and fight the good fight of faith. And you are a victor. You are stronger than you think. Fix your eyes on him and the joy that is set before us, because God wants us ready when he returns, living holy and godly lives, making every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with